Now we will mix some Thanksgiving traditions with a little help from technology and social media. That is right up digital and social media strategy expert Scott Klamberg's alley. Scott, good morning. Let's start with something practical. Tell us how technology can make Thanksgiving planning a little bit easier.
Sure. Good morning. So there are tons of apps out there for meal planning, grocery shopping. These types of apps save time and reduce stress. You can share recipe boards. You can share shopping lists in real time with family or friends. And there are smart kitchen gadgets that help you monitor cooking times and temperatures right from your phone.
Yeah. And speaking of sharing, social media explodes with Thanksgiving posts. What are people posting the most?
It's food photos. And, you know, more people are also sharing virtual celebrations or gratitude posts, but food tends to always take the lead because, you know, it's a way to connect and celebrate together, even if you're far apart. And one of my platforms for posting all things Thanksgiving is Pinterest. And I don't know, because everybody uses Pinterest a little bit differently, but I've always viewed it as a shareable digital bulletin board. You could post your own photos, but you can also post a recipe that catches your eye.
Have you heard about now this, I think, is my word. I don't think I've heard this yet, but are people doing this, having Zoom givings? I know during COVID this happened, but a Zoom giving, have you seen that anywhere?
I have. It's the first time I've ever heard the term Zoom giving, although I don't hate it. It's actually a pretty good name for it. But people who are far away, yeah, I've totally seen that. That was a big thing during the pandemic, too.
Yeah, that gets away from the concept of being thankful. What about expressing thanks digitally? Any cool ideas?
Oh, yeah, sure. People get creative. You know, they send video messages. They create memes. They even create digital thank you cards. You know, those things are quick and can feel very personal, especially, like we were saying, you know, if you can't be there in person. And, you know, over the years, social media has just become so much more toxic. It's become a less friendly place. It isn't as genuine as it used to be. But on holidays like Thanksgiving, where tradition almost always rules the day, that seems less apparent. Social media isn't always the worst place to be around the holidays.
Yeah, it gets nicer. It does. And now there are new platforms, and we're all looking for ways to utilize them in different ways, aren't we?
Oh, it's absolutely true. And honestly, Bob, after being in social media for almost 20 years now, I'm still amazed at the new and creative ways that people use the platforms. If you're on TikTok, type in Thanksgiving in the search bar, just Thanksgiving. The things that pop up are fascinating. And in case you were wondering, yes, there is truly a recipe for everything.
Yeah, social media has changed everything, including the way we celebrate Thanksgiving traditions, hasn't it?
Yeah, I agree. You know, sharing traditions online helps preserve family rituals. It introduces people to broader audiences, but it can also shift the focus from in-person connections to online validation. And balancing that is really key. You'll see people asking you to share memories or recipes. And this is where, you know, you want to keep some of the things that we've talked about previously in previous weeks in mind. You know, you don't want to post things about your past that could give a hacker insight into you and your life.
Yeah, sadly, there are scams to watch out for. We'll give you some warnings, and we'll get to the Genius Bar question of the week for Scott Klamberg momentarily. Social media strategist Scott Klamberg, and we're talking about the holiday and social media. Let's talk about being safe, Scott, especially on those group chats.
Yeah. And, you know, I've often said that for some people, group chats and group text are the new social media, right? Because by definition, it's social and sharing, but you're deciding who you're sharing with. And you can create your own groups on any platform, pretty much, but that means restricting comments or interactions from certain people. And for some, staying off public platforms makes them feel safer, which is why group texts are so attractive. And I think it's a wise thing to think about, and it's really all going to depend on the person.
And with all the online activity now, there are scams. Talk about what we should watch out for around Thanksgiving, especially.
Yeah, this is really important because scams spike during holidays. There are fake charities, there's bogus holiday sales, there's phishing emails related to travel or deliveries. They're all out there. You always want to stay skeptical of any unusual request and make sure that you only donate to trusted organizations.
And what about these virtual gatherings that are popular now? Any quick tips for making those work?
Yeah. You know, I was actually talking to someone not that long ago who decided that travel by plane right now is too much and too unpredictable, you know, so they're trying a long distance virtual dinner instead. It's not too much different than what you were saying before, you know, the whole Zoom giving type of thing, you know. So in this case, I would recommend using a reliable platform like that, something with good video and good audio quality. If you're using Zoom, you can create a Zoom room for different people. You can use Google Meet. Google Meet is actually pretty universal and pretty easy to use. I would say if you're going to do something like this, keep the group small enough to chat easily. You can plan some interactive moments like virtual toast or games to keep everyone engaged. And here's one more little interesting tip. They make mounts now that you can put a camera or put your phone at the top of your big screen TV. And you could actually like show your whole place when you're talking to someone online. It's actually a really cool thing. I've done it once and I want to do it again, but it's a really cool thing.
So a Zoom room, a Google Meet, is that hard to set up? What do you need to make that work?
I don't think it's hard to set up at all. I think you just need to set up an account. Now, you know, like on Zoom, you can pay for certain types of features. You don't need to pay for any features. You can use the basic features and you can just set it up and then you get a link and in either platform and you can send the link to everybody else and they can click on it and then they join the party. They actually make those things really quite simple. So that's not part of the stress, not usually anyway.
So to wrap up, final thoughts for folks getting ready for Thanksgiving online, Scott?
I would say enjoy the moment, whether that means you're digital or you're in person. But I would always say that you want to use technology to enhance. You don't want to replace those connections if you can help it. And remember, you know, I always tell people a simple message or call can mean a lot this time of year because we tend to get lost in our digital lives and everything just happens so fast. You know, I can't get together with everyone. So my family is far away. So we often use FaceTime. That's another way that you can do Google Meet, FaceTime. We use those to see each other. And I think that little things like that, especially this time of year, make all the difference.
And then with FaceTime, can you have a group together on FaceTime?
You can. And in fact, FaceTime has become even smarter where you can have bigger groups and you can have groups that don't necessarily use iPhones. That was always the thing with FaceTime. It's an Apple thing. So it was always a difficult thing to use between. So people would go to Zoom or go to Google Meet. So you can use FaceTime. I don't know if I really necessarily have a favorite because all of the things that we mentioned work on a computer, work on a mobile device, work on a tablet. You know, you can pretty much choose whichever one makes sense, and they're all going to have the same type of quality pretty much.
Right. That brings us to the Genius Bar question of the week for Scott. And this is interesting. Let's see. A question for Scott Kleinberg on my iPhone. Calls go straight to voicemail. So I guess this person doesn't get a chance to answer. Is that what do you make of this?
Okay, let me think for a second here because there's all kinds of reasons why your call could go straight to voicemail. You could have, I would check in now, I don't know if it's an iPhone or if it's something else. You might check to see if the Do Not Disturb setting is on. Mm. That could cause it. If you're using an iPhone, there's a focus mode that could say bypass my ringer and have my phones go right to voicemail. If that's the case, go to settings. On iPhone, it's settings focus, and you can make sure that there's nothing in there that's causing that. There's a slightest chance that you have call forwarding turned on, which redirects calls away from the number to voicemail. It's a little bit more rare these days, but if you go under the phone settings phone, you would find that under there. iPhone has a relatively new feature called Silence Unknown Callers. If that's enabled, it'll send numbers that are not in your contacts directly to voicemail. That's also under settings in phone. If it's an iPhone, that is something I would highly recommend because that is a relatively new feature. It shouldn't turn on automatically, but if you mistakenly turned it on, that's good to know. Other things I can think of is the phone could be in airplane mode. I mean, other things wouldn't work if that was the case, so that could cause it. And this is going to sound really crazy, but stick with me here. Sometimes if you leave the ring switch on the side of the phone on silent, you might miss the fact that you're getting the call, you're just not hearing it, and it's going right to voicemail. And people have told me before, that's crazy, I would never do that, but I've done it. So I have to tell people that it's possible that that switch is down. Just make sure that it's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's easy to change a setting by accident, isn't it?
It really is. And what's interesting is a lot of these settings, like I was saying a second ago, a lot of these settings are off by default. So that silence unknown caller shouldn't be on. But sometimes, and it's weird, sometimes when you update your software, whether manually or automatically, sometimes things change, the settings change. And it's one of those things where when I see something acting weird that wasn't acting weird before, I immediately go to a setting or a settings menu, and I just start looking around. I just start making sure that there's nothing in here that looks really out of place. And that's why I was saying that phone section, settings, phone, there's a lot of stuff under there that you'll probably think, well, I don't have any need to use this, until you do. So it sounds like in this case, that's one of those things where I would check under there and just make sure there's nothing that seems out of place.
Always good tips from Scott Kleinberg. We're grateful as always. And Scott, hope you have a terrific holiday. Happy Zoom giving to you.
Thank you, Bob. You too. You and yours. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.